I remember the woman perfectly, says I. As to her status, I confess I am reluctant now to be too definite, since she was certainly not among those shackled by Mr. Sullivan. Reluctant? Clitheroe threw his papers in disgust. Reluctant? On my word, Mr. Comber, I find this most extraordinary. Are you here, sir, to testify against that man? And he flung out a hand at Spring. Or are you not? I plucked up my courage. I have answered your questions to the best of my ability, sir. If I am scrupulous, I must say I find it hard that I should be blamed for that. He looked as though he would burst. Scrupulous? By all that's holy, I don't ask you to be scrupulous. I ask for the truth. What did you sail aboard this damn slaver for, if not to bring him to justice, eh? Answer me that, sir. When in difficulty, bluster. It was the only weapon I had left, and I seized it, now that his loss of composure had given me the chance. I sailed in the performance of my duty to my chief, sir, as you well know. That duty I will do as soon as I am permitted. If you look in my statement, sir, you will see that I was reluctant from the first to appear in this case, and that I appeared only because your Navy Department assured me it was necessary. I had assumed wrongly, I fear, and I took my whole courage in my hands and tried to sound furious, that such a simple case would be easily concluded without my intervention being called for. He went white, and then red, and his breath came out in a great shudder. He looked at me with pure hate, and when he spoke, it was with great care. Indeed, sir. Very high-minded, are we not? Very well, Mr. Comber. Let us examine this, if you please. You are an agent against the slave trade, although one would hardly suspect it from your conduct today. As such, you obtained possession, during this voyage, of papers belonging to the master of the Balliol College. Out of the tail of my eye, I saw Spring stiffen in his seat. Will you tell us, sir, whether or not there was evidence in those papers as to the ownership of the vessel, for example, to prove that she was engaged illegally in the slave trade, in contravention of American law. You are on oath, sir. Remember that. My heart lurched because I had seen the way out. I held my breath a moment to make my face red and let it out slowly. I drew myself up and glared at him with all the venom I could muster. This, sir, says I, is intolerable. It is precisely why I did not wish to appear. You are well aware, sir, that there are facts which I am in duty bound not to disclose, facts of the highest import. It is all explained in that statement, sir, which I cannot in honour convey to anyone except to my chiefs at home. I was promised immunity from this. Brazening it out for all I was worth, I rounded on Bailey. Captain Bailey, I appeal to you. This is entirely unworthy. I am badgered, sir, on the very grounds which it was promised to me would be inviolate. I will not endure it, sir. The council's questions must lead inevitably to the point which I was assured would not be touched. There's nothing like a good stammer for conviction. I was a fool to be coerced into this. I should have known. Incompetence. Harm done. There was tumult in the court. Even Bailey was looking bewildered. The adjudicator was at a loss. Anderson, clever man, had the good sense to look amazed. Spring was looking worried, and Clitheroe, stuck between rage and astonishment, looked to Bailey and then to me. On my word, this was the adjudicator, darting his nose at me. What is this outburst, sir? Sir, says I most humbly beg your pardon. I intended no disrespect to you or to this august court. I hesitated. I found myself placed in an intolerable position, sir. If an explanation is necessary, I beg that you will ask counsel for the plaintiff.